Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Horror at the Hospital, Volume 4, Story 1. My husband used to work as a nurse at a small private hospital in a medical surgical unit in a large metropolitan city. One of the frequent flyers was a woman named Luella, who always requested the same room at the end of the hall if it were available at the time of her admission. Luella's husband, Roy, was very loving and doting, and they refused assistance with her personal care when she was a patient, as Roy did everything for her. The only time Roy left the bedside was to step to the nurse's station for a cup of coffee, and inevitably, before he returned to her side, Luella would be heard calling, "Roy, Roy." Eventually, Luella died at that hospital in her room. Many months later, salesman who was traveling through the Strait experienced chest pains and pulled into the hospital. He was treated and placed in the same room that Luella had always requested. He was younger, awake, alert, oriented, and non-medicated. My husband said that during the night, the patient called the nurse's station and asked if someone could please help that lady so I can get some sleep. The nurses hadn't heard anything, but quickly made rounds to see if someone needed assistance. No one claimed to have called out, and no one else heard a disturbance. Shortly thereafter, the patient called the nurse's station again, requesting that someone please make her shut up so I can get some sleep. Again, they made the rounds, didn't hear anything, didn't see anyone that needed help. The next call to the nurse's station, the patient asked if someone could please help her find Roy so she will be quiet. My husband said that even then the staff wasn't unusually alarmed and even discussed the possibility that it was coming through the air conditioning vent and was maybe someone on another floor that was calling out. The next call to the nurse's station, the patient said, "She says her name is Luella and she needs help finding Roy." Everyone at this point was quite freaked out, having known Luella and her history. My husband says that a seasoned nurse walked into the room in question, opened the window, the inch that they will, and said very loudly, "Get out, Luella. You have to leave now." My husband worked at that facility for another year, and they never heard another peep from Luella. Story number 2. My friend was called out on a freeway auto accident involving several unstable victims. This was her very first call out, and she was really nervous. She was trying to stabilize one victim, and her hands were shaking so hard she could barely function. She panicked and was afraid she was going to have to step back and let someone else take care of the victim because she felt so upset and overwhelmed. At this point, a man came up to her and said, "I'm a doctor. I'll help you." It's not unusual to have people stop along the freeway and try to help out or gawk at an accident, but this one happened really early in the morning on a stretch of freeway that had few cars on it, especially at that time. The only vehicles there were the ambulance, a state patrol unit, and the car that flipped. Anyway, she accepted his help, and together they put the victim on the backboard and got him ready for transport. When they were finished, he said, "I'm going to help them," and pointed at another EMT who was with another victim. She nodded and said, "Thanks." She saw him walk over and kneel beside the victim, waiting to see if the EMT needed help. She turned back to the patient she was working on, and he needed an airway device, so she quickly turned to call to the EMT that the doctor had just gone to help. The doctor wasn't there, so she figured he'd left the scene. The patients were all very unstable, and they were 50 miles from the nearest hospital, so the life flight helicopter had been called to transport the victims to the hospital. After the victims were loaded and gone, my friend turned to the other EMT she'd been working with and said, "Wasn't that great to have help from that doctor?" The EMT looked at her with a puzzled look and said, "What doctor?" "There wasn't anybody else at the scene except us and the cop." My friend said, "He helped me. Then I saw him walk over to you and kneel by you and the guy you were working on." The EMT just looked at her strangely. "No one helped me out," he said. She went up to the state patrol cop who had been directing traffic and said, "Did you see the tall guy who stopped to help us?" The state patrol guy gave her the same look the EMT had and said, "About two cars went by while you guys were working and no one stopped." To this day, my friend is convinced that she was helped by an angel. Next story. I worked labor and delivery. We have a separate unit for antepartum. This unit used to be the old ICU years and years ago. I've seen tons of things out of the corner of my eye, but when you try to look straight at them, they are gone. The first thing I saw, at one point the NICU was overcrowded and was using our old nursery as a step-down unit. I was floated over there for the night. I was alone at one point when the other nurse took a dinner break. We have automatic doors that are pretty loud when they open, and I had never before and never since seen them open on their own. Anyway, I was feeding a baby with my back to the door. I heard it open, and all I could do was glance over my shoulder and say, "I'm almost done here. I'll be with you in a minute." I saw a man standing there in a long brown coat. I know he was looking right at me. I was all of 2 minutes putting the baby back to bed. The doors never opened again. I turned around, and there was no one there. I immediately called the other nurse and told her she needed to come back. It was the longest 5 or 10 minutes of my life waiting for her to come back. After that, not long after, as a matter of fact, I was working at the antepartum unit. I had heard several stories of a young girl with long blonde hair on the unit that several had seen. I saw a girl walk into the patient kitchen. She was wearing a hospital gown, but it was all white. Ours are white with blue flowers or pink ones. She was young and had long straight blonde hair. I knew she wasn't one of our patients. I sat there and waited a while to see her come out and asked her if I could get her anything. She never came out. Another nurse saw me sitting and staring at the kitchen. She laughed at me and went into the kitchen. Nope, nobody in there. My other story is, I had also heard that room 434 was haunted. All the older nurses had a story about that room. All within a few weeks of each other, three of us had our stories. One nurse told me she had a patient next door who called her to the room and asked her to tell the people next door to please quit slamming the dresser drawers. She said every time they slammed it, they would ram the dresser into her wall and she couldn't sleep. You guessed it. No patient in that room. Another nurse had a patient in room 434 and said that the patient called her to the room. She asked if the nurse had been in there at all recently. The nurse said no. Why? She said she was sleeping and heard her toilet flush and the sink come on. She got up to check the bathroom and found no one, so she used it herself. She said while she was in there, she heard someone come into her door and move furniture in her room. The rooms are really small, so usually you have to move things to get to the dresser or the computer. There were only two nurses on that unit that night, and neither had been in there. We moved that patient's room that night. Lastly, I had a patient that was in 434 and went to the other side for delivery. We then moved her back for bed control. She requested a different room. She said right before she went into labor, her 3-year-old son told her that he hated her room because it was too noisy. She asked him what he meant, and he asked her why she didn't see all those people standing around talking. She also said that close to that time, she had her blinds turned one direction and noticed they were opposite. She put them back the way she had them to keep the light out and looked a little later and they were opposite again. We let her pick a new room. Oh, and there's so many more. I hated working that unit alone. I've had call lights go on and off, TVs turn on right in front of me. One time I heard a TV on in the breast pump room, the one for the employees. It was really loud, and I went to ask them to turn it down. I heard the channels changing as I walked towards the room. The volume was on full blast. As I knocked on the door, the TV turned off. I went back and got the key to the room, and it was dark. No one in there at all. I screamed my way all the way back to the desk. Oh yes, and another experience. One night I was in charge of the antepartum unit. I went to check on the ante unit and the CNAs were acting goofy. They were giggly, but not middle of the night, silly tired. I asked what was up and they said they heard the ghost talking and the nurse with them was calling them names and saying she didn't hear anything. We stood and laughed about it for a little while. They never did tell me what they heard it say. By this time, the unit secretary was with us. Suddenly, we all heard a scream and a man, no men were on our unit ever, saying, "Help me." The nurse on the unit said, "Okay, I heard that one." I looked at the text and said, "What should we do?" Then we heard it louder and clearly coming from the end of the hall. We all took off down the hall, assigned a tech to each side of the hall, and told the secretary to stay at the top of the hall. The other nurse and I went to the back to check the stairwell. We all ended up meeting at the last room on the unit. For the third time, coming from that room, we heard a man say, "Help me," and scream. We all went flying in there. Now, I sit here laughing because that woman was so scared. She was alone and sound asleep. Picture the four of us in the middle of the night, slamming into a room. She sat straight up and said, What? I said, "Are you okay? We heard someone calling for help." She was like, "I was sleeping. It wasn't me." I played it off and said, "Let's go check the staircase. It must have come from the other side of the hall." Remember, I personally checked the stairs. And I apologized and apologized and apologized. She forgave us, thank God, or we would have had to move her room in the middle of the night, which would not have been funny. But I'm shaking, thinking about it all over again. Next story. A few years ago, I was employed at this LTC facility as a CNA. I worked nights, so it always felt creepy walking down the dark halls alone. Because of that, our charge nurse would advise us to pair up together and do our rounds. Well, one night, myself and a fellow co-worker, who was also a friend, were doing our 2 a.m. rounds together. We finally made it to our last room, which was an elderly woman who was in a room by herself. It was a 2-bed resident room, but no one ever lasted longer than a month for some strange reason when they were in that second bed. The elderly woman in the room would always scream and grab onto you when you were changing her, and never once spoke a word. I've been working with her for almost a year and never heard as much as hello. Well, on this particular night, we finished our last resident and went into a room to clean her up and change her linens. When we went into her room, we closed the door, but left it slightly open so we could hear the nurse if she was walking the hall searching for us. Once finished, we both cleaned up the room and proceeded to walk through the door. I reached the doorknob and couldn't get it to turn. It was as if it was locked, but there is no locks on the resident's door. I pulled again and got no luck. So my co-worker tried and had no luck. We both looked at each other and I decided to call the nurse's station to tell the nurse to open the door because it seemed stuck. Just as I touched the button, the temperature changed completely. Mind you, it was summer and this resident didn't like to run her air in her room, so it wasn't on. It was freezing. My co-worker is standing there looking just as spooked as I was. It was like a scene from The Sixth Sense. While looking at each other, the resident looked straight ahead and said, "He's here. He's in my room again. Can you feel his presence?" When she said that, myself and my co-worker nearly knocked each other down trying to run into the resident's bathroom in her room. This lady had never once spoken the entire time I'd been employed in this facility until then. About 5 minutes later, the nurse stepped in looking for us. She found us in the restroom looking scared to death. We told her the door was locked and she frowned and showed us it wasn't because she came right in. We walked out and felt like complete idiots. As we did our final rounds that morning, we left the door completely open. At the end of my shift, the nurse walked with us to our car and told us what happened in that room. She said a few years ago, the resident's husband had died around 2 a.m., She said that right after he died, employees spoke of the door mysteriously locking on them and the room becoming cold suddenly. After hearing that, I became frightened completely. I put in my resignation a week later because I couldn't get over it. To this day, it freaks me out. Yes, even now. Next story. I used to work as a respiratory therapist. I basically traveled to 3 or 4 different nursing homes where the company was contracted in the local area. Because I was on call, I generally got stuck working midnight shift. I've only had one personal experience, but it was enough to scare me senseless. Anyway, the nursing home had 2 long hallways where the patient's room were located, and then a connecting hallway between the two. I was going back to the office after finishing with one of the patients, and in the connecting hallway, I heard loud breathing right over my shoulder in my ear, like it was coming from right behind me. It was deep and really slow, in, out, in, out. I laughed and turned around thinking it was one of the nursing assistants goofing off, and I was the only one standing there with absolutely no one in sight. I freaked. I don't think my legs have ever moved so fast. I didn't experience this personally, but was working the night shift. This happened at a different nursing home. I can't remember if it was one of the nurses or the nursing assistants, but they were doing their rounds and entered a ladies' room to do whatever it was they had to do. Anyway, this particular patient was basically completely non-functional. She never talked, never walked, never made a peep, and would only lie in bed with her eyes open. As the nurse or nursing assistant entered the room, the lady was down on the floor on her stomach, but up on her arms. Basically walking with her arms, if that makes sense. Pulling herself across the room towards the girl and was speaking in some sort of language that definitely wasn't English. The girl, of course, freaked out, and when she returned with help, the lady was still on the floor but just lying there with her eyes open as usual, not making a peep. At the same nursing home where I had my experience, a pregnant nursing assistant was talking with the nurses at the nurse's station. Witnessed by at least three people, a marker lifted up from the nurse's station and flew across some distance, hitting the pregnant girl square in the stomach. The nurse that told me the story said they hoped it wasn't a bad omen, but the girl later on had the baby with no complications and the baby was perfectly healthy. Next story. I worked in a small rural hospital on a medical surgical unit right out of nursing school. I worked nights 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., which tends to be somewhat of a creepy shift anyway because typically it's dark everywhere in the hospital at night. Our floor had two halls, even in odds, and on this particular night, I had patients at the end of both halls. The very last rooms at the end of each hall were negative pressure rooms for TB or other isolation patients, etc. We hadn't put any patients in those rooms for probably a month or so, and our pediatric unit had been using one of the rooms as a storage room for extra cribs and other equipment. I was making a round checking on my patients at the end of the hall, and I could see a TV on in one of the isolation rooms that was being used as storage. I walked up and peeked in the window, and you could hear the TV blasting, the Weather Channel of all things. I freaked out and ran down to the nurse's station and refused to go anywhere near that room the rest of the night. Another story that happened in that same hospital is that we had a patient on the odd wing that had come in with abdominal pain. The doctors couldn't really find anything wrong with this guy, but he refused to be discharged, so they kept him there for a while. I came in at 7 one night and got the report from his day shift nurse, who informed me that while she had been in his room passing his meds, he asked her if anyone had died in the other bed in the room. She, of course, said that was very likely that someone had died there. And he looked at her and said, "I kind of figured because she's sitting on the edge of the bed right now." The day shift nurse said she got freaked and left the room as soon as possible. We had other stuff on in that unit that would happen, like the bathroom sink in one room would come on and off by itself with no patients in that room, call lights going off in unoccupied rooms, and the LTC, which was the floor above the one I worked on, said their residents always talked about the man in black before they died. Next story. This takes place in an inner city nursing home up on the third floor. The hall is to the left of the nurse's station, very nondescript with rooms on each side, just a dull rectangular shape. The only access to the area is the elevator, which is across from the nurse's station, and a stairwell on the other side of that, more towards the other unit. The shift is 3 to 11, and it's about 7 p.m. Most of the staff is off the floor for dinner. I'm getting ready to begin my evening med pass with all the crushes for the tube feeds. I have a male orderly on the floor with me. This unit has several loud patients, with one in particular, a female who says the name of someone repetitively all the time. I think the name was Mary. So along with other sort of dementia sounds, there is the constant background noise of Mary, 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 Mary being chanted. The orderly is facing towards the end of the hall next to me and my med cart. I'm about halfway down the hall. The patient who keeps chanting Mary is the second last room on the left. He's asking me a question when all of a sudden there's silence. The chanting woman has stopped. The silence makes us both look down the hall towards this woman's room. We both see a little girl who literally skips out of her room and enters the last room on the right, which I know is empty. We both know there are no visitors on the floor, but still don't want an unescorted child running around. Plus, we have noticed she was dressed kind of odd. I lock the cart, go down the hall, both of us together, of course. No one is in any of the rooms except the bedridden patients that were supposed to be there. We then check on the quiet chanter, who was not dead, just inexplicably quiet. The little girl that we saw was dressed in a popular style at the turn of the century, of the last century, something like a sailor outfit, a midi blouse with a large collar necktie, and a long waist. It was over a dark pleated skirt and dark stockings. Her hair was blonde and pulled back into two braids that bounced as she skipped. She never turned towards us, just skipped purposely into the empty room. The patient stayed quiet only for a few days, then resumed her endless calling to someone she wanted to see, and Mary, Mary, Mary filled the dismal halls again. But no reappearance of the little girl from the past, who seemed to have given her some comfort, if only for a short time. Next story. We had just moved into a brand new hospital, and the locker room to the operating room always sounded like there was someone in there changing. Lockers closing, opening, mumbling voices, etc. But there never was anybody in there. I worked the weekends and nights when I was the only one around. I would go in there completely expecting to see someone in one of the bays, but no one was there. I attributed it to a new building still settling in. One day about 6 p.m., I was at my locker and I hear this strange whooshing noise. I attribute it to the clock behind me, and I realize it's coming from in front of me. I started to listen closely, and it was coming from the locker directly below mine. I put my ear to it, and it sounded exactly like someone's mouth is behind the vent, breathing. I automatically reached to open the locker, and as soon as I touched it, the noise stopped. All the lockers were locked. Each one has an individual key, but no one owns any of the bottom lockers. A few seconds later, it starts up again. I said, "Hello," fully expecting a response, and immediately it stops again. I told a few close friends I work with about it to see if they had heard anything. They all said they'd heard the lockers open, voices, etc., but never the breathing. The next weekend, took my co-workers and I all go into the locker room, again around 6 p.m. Their lockers are one bay down from mine, and we're all talking loudly, but as soon as I get to my locker, I hear it again. I told them to shut up and get over here now. One of them put their ear by the locker and stood up so quickly we bashed heads. She put down her ear again to listen and even slammed their fist in the locker. It scared them so bad. The other person wouldn't listen and ran out of the locker room. The following weekend, the charge nurse that works the graveyards was in there next to that locker doing her charges at around 3 a.m. She told me she heard breathing coming from below my locker and ran out of there. She said, "I could just see a demon back there watching me." I retrieved the key from the unit secretary and opened the locker, halfway expecting something or someone to be in there. There was nothing, and no air vent in there to cause the sound. I'm not one to scare easily, but there is just no other explanation I can come up with. Something I forgot to mention, whenever the breathing stopped from touching the locker, etc., when it started back up again, it was like a gasping, like someone who held their breath trying to catch their breath again. Yeah, like that. Next story. The weirdest thing that ever happened to me in the hospital was about 22 years ago. We had just passed out all the dinner trays and we had gotten KFC for ourselves. I told the other LVN and the CNAs to go ahead and eat their chicken and I would watch the call lights. I was at the nursing station when a woman who was a patient walked up to me and said, "My roommate is choking." I asked her what room and she replied, "Room 211B. I know, probably rolled my eyes at her because people always came up to tell us that someone was choking and they really weren't. I started walking down the long hall thinking to myself, this woman is not choking. I'll walk real fast. Then I thought to myself, what if she is choking? I better run. Then I thought, this woman is not choking. I'll walk fast. And then I thought she might be choking. I'd better run. Well, when I got halfway down the hall, I heard, and I don't hear voices, a man say, "Run." His voice was loud and kind of vibrating, but it didn't hurt my ears. I didn't even contemplate or question him. It was definitely a man's voice. If it was my own mind talking to myself, I would have heard my own voice. Anyways, I walked into the room. I saw this little old lady, and I asked her, "Can you speak?" And she shook her head, "No." So I got behind her in the bed and pushed her body a little forward so I could give her the Heimlich. Being old, she was a little stiff, so I then gave her one Heimlich thrust. Nothing happened. Then all of a sudden, it seemed like everything went in slow motion, and I could see that her earlobe was cyanotic, a shade of light purple. I then gave her another ABD, thrust, and out flew a piece of meat. She was okay, but we sent her to CCU overnight because she had some EKG changes. She came back to us the next day. To me, it was not scary at all. If anything, it was comforting. I don't know who it was, but I believe it was a guardian angel or Jesus or God. Whoever he was, he told me to run. And if I'd been a few seconds late, this little lady would probably have died. I also had a patient die in room 210B. A lot of the rooms were empty down at the other end of this hall. We had already cleaned her up, just waiting for the mortuary to come and pick up her body, and the other bed in the room was empty. I was at the nursing station when a call light went on. Guess whose light it was? It was the little old lady that just expired's light. I felt, oh my God, someone come down there with me and see what's going on. Another nurse went with me, and sure enough, the light was on, and the lady was still expired. I turned off the light. I don't know who did it. Maybe the same guy that told me to run with the choking lady? One of my coworkers told me she was working at this really old hospital and had a patient in a back room on a vent, and she was sitting nearby and thought she saw something from the corner of her eye. Then her patient's alarms on the vent started going off like crazy. She said she went to his bedside, and he had this very frightened look on his face and was shaking and freaking out. Since he was intubated, she gave him the notepad that he had, and he wrote that a man that looked like a black shadow was hovering over his bed and was trying to get him. She said it was really creepy because she also said that she thought she saw something from the corner of her eye but didn't really see anything or anybody. I think that the patient did expire the next day. Next story. I worked in a nursing home for 2 years and had a few experiences during the night shift. I'd probably been there for 5 or 6 months before seeing or feeling anything. I did hear lots of stories, though. It was about 3 a.m., and I was going from room to room, emptying water pitchers and picking up miscellaneous dirty laundry left over from the evening shift. I always snuck into the rooms without turning on any lights so that I wouldn't disturb anyone as they slept. I went into one of the residents' bathrooms, grabbed a couple of washcloths, and as I dumped the water into the sink, I got a chill. I looked up into the mirror to see if the window behind me was open, and there was a man's face, just to the left of mine in the reflection. I bolted out of that room and up to the well-lit nurse's station. Needless to say, from then on, when emptying pitchers at night, the bathroom light was on before I stepped foot inside, especially that room. I also had an experience at a house I lived in for a few years. My first night there was sitting on my bed, and the shower in the master bathroom turned up by itself. I didn't really think much about it at the time. I just got up, shut it off, and as soon as I got to the door, it shut off. That's the only time it did that. But there were a few nights that the bathroom light turned off and on for an hour, not to mention lots of seeing things out of the corner of my eye. There was also a few times while doing dishes that I felt like someone was tugging on my clothes or playing with my hair. My mom and I believe it could have been our neighbor, my mom's best friend for many years, who died in my mom's arms a few years early. Oh, and we also believe she pushed my mom's ex out of a tree, breaking his arm. Next story. I heard this firsthand from nurses and residents who were there the night it happened. I was working in a SICU. Several years prior in that SICU, there was a patient admitted who had been stabbed and was extremely critical. A resident who was at the hospital that night must have heard about it and came up to check it out or help, whatever. The room where the patient was located was right next to a stairwell. The resident was making his way up the stairwell when he saw a very evil, menacing apparition of a human head chasing his way up the stairs. He made it into the SICU, but was pale as a ghost himself. The nurses who saw him passed it off as one resident who worked too many hours. In fact, as the resident was getting up those stairs to go to the SICU, the stab victim died. Turns out, the stabbing victim was a gang leader, a big-time criminal. Therefore, his murder made the news. The next morning, the resident was looking at the Boston Herald, and lo and behold, a picture of the stabbed victim was there. It was the same face that had menacingly chased him up the stairs. He was totally freaked out, and when we asked him about the story years later, you could tell it still spooked him. The room in which the stabbed victim died was haunted. I don't know if that is because of that event or another, but people reported feeling someone breathing closely behind their neck, but no one would be there. Stuff like that. I personally was hardly surprised to find out that the stairwell had been haunted at one point because I always had the most foreboding, eerie feeling going up that stairwell, like evil. Well, after hearing that story, it is safe to say I took the other stairs after that. Having worked in critical care for a while, I can't say I've definitely had any haunted experiences myself. But I do find it amazing that there are certain rooms, for whatever reason, that seem to have bad luck. One admission after another dying, many unexpected or at least earlier than expected, There is definitely a strong psychic energy in ICUs, hospices, NH, anywhere people die frequently. I think even more so in places where people die of traumas and accidents. Definitely freaky stuff.